Every time I drink that water, I'm reminded of that story of the new preacher that came into town, and they'd put a full jug of water on the pulpit, and he'd preach long and dry and hard. And after the sermon was over, somebody went and asked the old grandpa sitting in the front row, "What did you think of his preaching?" He says, "I don't know," he says. "I can tell you one thing, though," he says, "he's the first windmill I saw run on water." We want to talk this morning, in the back of your bulletin you'll see this, made willing in weakness. Philippians 2, 12 and 13, we'll read that in a minute, but first of all I want to give an introduction and then we'll read the text. I remember as a young college graduate I began a job, very interesting job, a job I kind of enjoyed. It was at the cutting edge of life insurance. And those days, term life was not a popular thing to sell. It still isn't amongst many of the companies, but this company sold term life insurance with investments in the stocks, in the stock market. And once a week, at least, the salesmen were given a pep talk. The main underlining theme of this pep talk was this: if you believe in this company, you will do everything you can to tell people about it and sell your product. At times, I really wondered if I was at a revivalist church meeting or a sales office, just the way the guy was always trying to pep us up with his talk. It's interesting, a study of the workplace done this very year by Brigham University suggests that those who have a strong belief in the mission of their company are most likely to succeed within that company. They declared it's not just who you know within the company, but what you believe in as to what makes you a successful worker. Perhaps this is why I did not last in the insurance business. I did not feel a fervor for selling life insurance. I felt a fervor for telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That was my mission in life, I believe, to tell people about Jesus Christ. In our text today, Paul speaks of the fervency we should have towards the gospel. And as we consider this text, I want us to see this thought. When believers work within their weaknesses, God enables them to do his pleasure. Let me read the scriptures now from Philippians 2, 12 and 13. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Let me repeat what I said a moment ago. When believers work within their weaknesses, God enables them to do his pleasure. First of all, notice our working. Verse 12 is a very interesting statement to begin with. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed." Can God say that about you as a believer? You have always obeyed? Here is a congregation who sought their utmost and by all of their ability to obey. Now, what were they obeying? Or whom were they obeying? Some will say maybe Paul had kind of a big ego and he was happy they were obeying him. But if we take a look at some of his other epistles, we find very well that Paul says, "No, I am not excited when people go by my name and they obey me." Now, he did say, "Obey me as I have followed Christ." But in 1 Corinthians, he told the assembly that it's wrong to go and say, "I'm a disciple of Peter, I'm a disciple of Paul or Apollos or someone else." You see, obedience wasn't obeying a person, unless we're talking about Christ. The obedience of which he is writing here, and in the context of what we've seen already, is obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In particular, Paul is talking in this text about the gospel, about Christ coming down to man. how he condescended from glory, from being with his Father, to becoming a man, and then even worse, to enter poverty and finally death, and the worst death imaginable. You see, the obedience to the gospel helps us to learn to be humble. Being of the mind of the Lord and Savior when he came to earth was humility. And the obedience to be humble before God is the mark of a believer. Notice what our text says in light of her being the gospel. They have not only obeyed around Paul, but even when Paul was not there. I remember being in school many years ago. It wasn't a Christian school. It was a public school. And in those days, the teachers had quite a bit of authority, and if you did something wrong, guess what? You could be in big trouble.